Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know your son.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in this morning to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein, and we're great to have you listening along this morning. We've got a beautiful day in the Tennessee Valley as I was driving over to the station. Bright, clear skies. It's a little cool again this morning, but not as bad as the last few days. And I think it's going to warm up for us nicely today. And so it's a beautiful day to come out and worship God with us. We invite you to do that at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31. We meet at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be worshiping our God, singing praises to Him, listening to His Word. And we'd love for you to come and be with us. We'll be social distancing and wearing masks and all of that. It's a pretty safe environment, so come and visit us if you can. But if you can't visit with us, check us out online. You can go to Facebook and get the live streaming there on Facebook, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama. Or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and just click on the media tab and the live streaming, and you can watch watch us as we worship our God and listen to the sermon that's going to be presented and hear our singing and all of that this morning if you'd like to do that. You know, we're living in a world where lots of folks have problems, obviously, and we've been through a lot during this year, but one of the things that I've read about is that people with addictions like alcohol addiction and drug addiction are actually faring a good bit worse than a lot of us during this time. It seems the addictions have gotten hold of them even more severely than normally. Addicts are sometimes, put on programs of rehabilitation that involve steps to recovery. So recently you may have even seen a three-step program to cure alcohol addiction or tobacco addiction, I should say, that's been publicized on TV. There's 9-step and 12-step plans for alcohol and drugs and gambling addictions. So all of those programs, which I think many of which are very successful, these programs involve taking steps one by one that involve specific action or behavior, which typically is to be done, before you advance to the next step. So you do this one thing, then you go on to the next thing, then you go on to the next thing. And when you master that, then you go on to the next. And when you complete the steps, then hopefully you're cured. Well, counselors and self-help specialists have discovered that these step plans are really effective tools. They clarify for us what needs to be done, and they help us see how we're progressing to the goal that we want to meet. They keep us focused on achieving that. Sin is like an addiction. In fact, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 34 that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So we've heard of people, being a slave to alcohol or drugs or gambling or whatever it is. But Jesus said, if you commit sin, you're a slave of sin. So it is very much like an addiction. And Christ has a plan to free us from that addiction. The question in the religious world today really is, how many steps are in the plan? There's a very well-known evangelical evangelist that's been on television quite a bit lately, has a spot in which he basically says there's a two-step plan. That's not how he says it, but he says, in essence, if you believe and pray this prayer, then that's all you need to do to be saved. Well, I look all the way through the New Testament, and I don't find that plan anywhere. I don't find anywhere where a New Testament apostle or an evangelist for Jesus Christ in the New Testament said, hey, all you need to do is believe and pray this prayer and you're saved. That's just not in the Bible. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's not. What we need to do is, what plan does Jesus have for us to be saved? What steps does he want us to take to salvation? And when you read through the pages of the New Testament, especially if you look at the Gospels and particularly in the book of Acts, it's pretty clear that there are five steps, five simple steps that you're to take to come to a relationship with Christ, to rid yourself of your sins and be saved. And those five steps include hearing God's word, believing God's word, repenting from sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, those are the five steps. I just gave them to you, but I'm going to spend the rest of the morning with you, if you're willing to listen, and talk with you about each of those steps. Talk about the relationship between those steps and what's involved in them, and show you where they're found in the scriptures. That's the key thing. Anybody can say, well, here's what you need to do to be saved. Here's what you need to do to have a relationship with Christ. But what does the Bible say about that? You know, the Bible is our guide to the way that leads to life. That's what we need to be following. And as we'll see, the Bible says we need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Those are the steps. One of the things I want to say about God's word is that not all of the truth on any subject really is found in one verse. I know we want to simplify things. We're living in a microwave generation, and where everything has to be instantaneous. We have, you know, our phones and all of our gadgets that enable us to learn things and find out things and do things instantaneously. But the study of God's word takes a little bit of time, takes a little bit of effort. And to find things in God's word, you need some familiarity with it, or you need somebody with familiarity to show you where things can be found. And the scriptures say, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, study or give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Now, you have to work at handling aright the word of truth. I think that's what one thing you can get out of that passage. You just don't, you know, understand everything in the Bible just by a quick glance. There's effort involved in correctly handling God's word. The Bible can be understood by almost anybody, but it needs to be worked on. You know, it needs to be studied. We need to listen to instruction from those who know some things about it, and follow along in our Bibles and figure out what the Bible actually says for ourselves. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10 that God's revelation to his people had been, and I quote, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So that's the way God has revealed himself and his will to man, really, all through the centuries. He doesn't give us everything at once. He gives, here's a little bit of truth, you take that, absorb that. Here's a little more over here, take that, absorb that. Here's some more over here, and then you put it all together. And he expects us, because he's given us the wisdom and the knowledge and the mental ability to do so, he expects us to put that all together and to understand all that he's trying to tell us. So this line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Anytime you start learning anything in any field of endeavor, you know, you need to start with the basics, with the elementary principles. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, the writer's been talking about several things, and he says that he's, in his discussion, going to leave the elementary principles of Christ. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. One thing I want you to notice about this passage is that he mentions elementary principles, and three of the elementary principles that he mentions are repentance, faith, and baptism. You'll notice those are three of the steps that I mentioned the Bible says are steps to salvation. So these are very fundamental things. Elementary principles are fundamentals which have to be mastered before you can fully participate in any endeavor or accomplish much of anything in any field. For example, an English teacher will teach you the alphabet, you know, and you'll have to master that before you can read and write in English. That's fundamental. If you learn another language, the first thing you'll probably do is learn their alphabet. So alphabets are fundamental to mastering that language. The elementary principles of Christ involve things like repentance from dead works, faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptisms. So these are some things that we need to understand. These are some things that are fundamental to our faith. A couple of other things that the Hebrew writer mentions there are the resurrection and judgment. If we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, well, again, that's kind of a core principle of Christianity. If we don't believe Christ rose from the dead, the Apostle Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 that our faith is in vain. We haven't even made the first big step, you know, to understanding and believing in Christ if we don't believe in the resurrection. Also, we need to believe in the judgment to come. And that's mentioned also in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Another thing that is mentioned there is the laying on of hands. That was often related to the impartation of a blessing or a spiritual gift in the New Testament. You can read about that in several passages. Of course, those spiritual gifts we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, would cease once the perfect revelation of Jesus Christ had come. But the point right here is that if no other passage in the Bible addressed the subject, we would know from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that faith and repentance and baptism are fundamental necessities to a relationship with Christ. So the five steps toward the goal of salvation, we've said they're here, hearing the gospel, believing it, confessing, repenting, being baptized for the remission of your sins. Those fundamental steps are in Scripture, if you do just some basic reading of Scripture, those fundamental steps are often tied together in places. Not all of them at once, perhaps, but one is tied to the next. Let me give you a few examples of what I'm saying. So we said that the first two steps to salvation were to hear the gospel and believe it. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said that faith, that's belief, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here, the idea of hearing God's word is tied to faith. In fact, we're told that's how faith comes. You're not going to believe God's truth if you don't hear God's truth. You know, it's not going to be something he just zaps you with. You need to hear the word of God in order to believe. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Belief comes by hearing. So those two important concepts are tied together in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We can stay in Romans 10, and we can also see how that faith or belief is connected to confession. We'll back up in Romans chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 9. There the Apostle Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." That's a pretty plain verse, you know, and it's definitely telling us that belief and confession are necessary for our salvation. Now, somebody tells you that belief is the only thing that's necessary. Well, they are disagreeing with Paul. If they tell you that, you know, praying is what's necessary, you don't find that in this verse, but you do find believing and confessing. Confessing, you know, who Christ is, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So look at it again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So here are the fundamental steps, some basic steps. And again, you'll notice the belief there is tied not only to Jesus, but to his resurrection from the dead, which is also a fundamental principle of what we believe. We hear the word of God. That brings about belief. And if you believe something, if you really believe it, what are you going to do? You're going to talk about it. That's what confession is. It's acknowledging it. It's admitting it. It's telling it to others. So you hear God's word. It brings about this belief. And then you confess it. In the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 21, belief is tied to the concept of repentance. In fact, this happens quite a bit in Scripture. In this particular passage in Acts 20 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders, and he's reminding them of the work that he did in Ephesus. And he says he was testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul preached, he preached repentance and he preached faith. Those things were necessary for people to know in order to be saved. So that's what he was preaching when he was in Ephesus, bringing people to Christ. Repentance and faith. Repentance is that change that occurs within us. We turn away from sin and godlessness, and we turn to righteousness and a relationship with God or godliness. Belief and repentance are tied together in this verse, as they are early on in the preaching even of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way of Christ in Mark 1 and verse 15. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. So here these very important fundamentals to salvation are tied together in these passages. You have hearing, then believing, repenting, believing, confessing. And then believing is also tied to being baptized. Jesus himself tied those two together in Mark 16 and verse 16. He says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. That's Jesus Christ himself speaking. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What do you need to do to be saved? Well, at least believe and be baptized. Those two are tied together in that passage. So baptism is a clear step connected to believing that gets us headed in the direction of being saved. In Acts chapter 8, you have the account of the evangelist Philip teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. And they were going down the road in a chariot. And the text says in Acts 8 and verse 36, they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And the next verse in the New King James Version and the King James Version says this. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. So here again, believing is tied to baptism. The eunuch wants to be baptized. He wanted to be baptized because Philip had been preaching Jesus to him. We'll talk about this more in a minute. And in teaching Jesus, Philip had apparently told him that baptism was necessary. And so the eunuch says, well, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip says, well, if you believe, you can. And so if you believe, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then earlier on in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, and this is another text we'll look at in a little bit more detail in just a minute, but in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter tells the Jews that were gathered on that day of Pentecost to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what does Peter tell them? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So time and again, the New Testament mentions these steps in connection with one another. It's obvious that the steps, hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized, that those steps have a connection. And they have a connection to salvation. And all of these passages that we looked at, the writers of the New Testament were tying one of these steps to the next step as essential to our salvation. When we turn to the book of Acts, then, in the New Testament, the book of Acts, of course, tells of really the establishment and spread of the church. It's named Acts because it's the Acts of the Apostles, how the apostles spread the gospel to the whole world, how it came to be that there were Christians, you know, all over the Roman Empire by the time of the end of the first century and beyond that, really. So the book of Acts is filled with accounts of the steps that men and women were told to take in order to be saved from sin. And if we're honest, as we read through the book of Acts, we can see God's five-step plan being revealed in these accounts. It might be that you don't see all five steps in every case, but you definitely see these steps that people were told to take and did take in order to be free from the addiction of sin, be free from the slavery of sin. So as we read through Acts with the idea of mind of looking for the things that people were told to do to be saved, the cumulative effect of this is really overwhelming. And if you would take the time to do that, I really challenge you to go through the book of Acts and see what people were told to do to be saved. I mean, it's amazing just adding, again, line upon line, precept upon precept, putting it all together. And you can see really clearly what the steps are. It's like a manual to understanding what the steps of salvation are. And, you know, somebody, I don't understand. People get up today, as I was talking about this well-known preacher that's got these spots on television. He's telling people, all you got to do is believe and pray that prayer. I don't know where he gets that. That's not in the Bible. There's not a two-step plan like that in the Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says and do what the Bible says. So let's start here, right here in Acts 2. In Acts 2, Peter preached to a multitude of Jews. And as we just read in Acts 2 and verse 38, he told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized. So we have two of the steps right there. Someone says, well, did he ever tell them to hear? He said that hearing was a step. In fact, he did. Earlier on in his speech, in his sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, that's one of the first things he says. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did. And so he begins to preach to him Jesus. Wow. So, you know, here you got it. Peter says, you need to hear this. And then he starts to tell them about Jesus. He starts to tell them about the gospel. So they're told to hear. Were they ever told to believe? If you go on toward the end of his speech in Acts chapter 2, and you'll see in verse 33, still preaching about Jesus, Peter says, him being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out that which you see and hear. And then he says in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. If you know something assuredly, what could be said about that? You believe it, don't you? So to tell somebody, know it assuredly and believe it, you're telling them essentially the same thing, right? So these steps, hear the gospel, believe it, know it assuredly, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Those steps are found right there in that first gospel sermon in the book of Acts. This is, you know, the first time Jesus, he'd been crucified. He'd spent 40 days with his apostles. He descended back to the Father. 10 days after that, essentially, that's when Peter's preaching this sermon. These are essentially the first people who came into a relationship with Christ by following the steps. The steps were finally laid out, and here's exactly what they did to have their sins washed away and become Christians. Well, as we go on in the book of Acts, we see this repeated over and over again. Again, not all the steps are mentioned in every case. You could assume that they were happening, but the point is these steps are found repeatedly throughout the book of Acts as people are told what to do to be saved. When we go over to Acts chapter 8, we find an evangelist by the name of Philip, and he goes up to Samaria and begins preaching the gospel. The text tells us about his preaching in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So what were they doing? Well, they were hearing, right, the message. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. So people were listening to Philip, and people were doing the things that Philip said to do. Well, what was he telling them to do, and what did they do in order to be saved? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, just a little bit later on, it says they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Did you get that? They believed when they heard him preaching. And as a result of that, both men and women were baptized. Well, that's three of our steps mentioned in that one verse. They were hearing, they were believing, they were being baptized. That's how the people of Samaria responded to the gospel. That's what they did to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have their sins washed away. That's what you need to be doing today. That's what I need to be, should have done and did do. That's what all men who want to come to Jesus, want to have a relationship with him, need to be doing. These people were following God's step plan, so to speak. Later in the same chapter, we've already mentioned him preaching, Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, we learned that the eunuch believed in Jesus, he confessed his belief, and he was baptized in water for the remission of his sins. A little later on in the book of Acts, we can go over to Acts chapter 10, the first Gentile convert, the first convert with really no connection to Judaism that we find in Scripture is a man by the name of Cornelius. We're introduced to him in Acts chapter 10. He was a Roman centurion who is quartered in Caesarea. And an angel appears to him, tells him to go send to Joppa for Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter. Cornelius was told that he needed to hear Peter preach saving words. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 6, he's told that Simon is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So Cornelius is told, you need to hear what this person has to say, what Peter has to say to you. And then Peter, after Cornelius fetches him from Joppa, and the Lord appears to Peter, explaining a little bit about what's going on. You can go on in this text, and you can see that Cornelius was told that he was to believe the words, that and that if he believed the words he heard, he would receive remission of sins. You go down in the context then, continuing after Peter gets to the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. The apostle Peter is telling Cornelius about Jesus, and he says to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in his name will receive remission of sins. So now Cornelius has heard, right? Peter's told him, you've heard that what Jesus is all about, and if you believe, you can have remission of sins. And then the text goes on to tell us in Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, Peter asked the question, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized as who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So what does Peter do in the household of Cornelius? Well, he goes and he preaches. They hear. They believe. He tells them to be baptized. He tells them to be baptized in water. These are the steps people took. It goes on in the book of Acts over and over and over again. In Acts chapter 16, the apostle Paul is with Silas and some other companions in the city of Philippi. And it tells us in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, he'd gone down by the river and he found some women who were interested in spiritual things. And he said, it says in Acts 16 and verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So here's a woman. She hears the gospel. She believes it. She's baptized. Again, those same steps being reiterated over and over again. The Philippian jailer, and a little later in Acts 16, Paul was thrown in prison with Silas, and he was beaten. He had marks all over his back, no doubt, from the whip. But the Lord, miraculously, through an earthquake, releases him from prison. The Philippian jailer, aware that a great miracle is going on, comes in, and he asks Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved, is the question that he asks in Acts chapter 16. And verse 30. And Paul tells him, well, believe on the Lord and you'll be saved. And the text goes on to tell us that Paul took him the same hour of the night and baptized him. Again, the same steps all the way through, right? Being mentioned. This isn't a coincidence. This isn't an accident. These are the steps that we're to take to be saved. In Acts 18 and verse 8, you have the same thing. When Paul's in Corinth, this pagan city of his day, in Acts 18 and verse 8, it tells us that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So there you have three of the steps: hear, believe, and be baptized. What have we learned this morning? Well, what I hope you've learned is the five-step plan that God has for you to help you overcome the addiction of sin and have a relationship with Jesus. You got to hear. You got to believe. You got to confess. You got to repent, turn away from your sins, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. It's a simple five-step plan. It's clearly shown to us in the scriptures. You have to go through. You have to read in some places, but it's clearly there over and over again. This is what people did. This is what we'd like for you to do. And if you're interested in it, please get in touch with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org. My email address is there. Send me an email. Call us on the phone. Our phone number is there. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you have a great week as you strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama.